Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful treat tonight for you. We have a lady by the name of Pamela Jean DeGina, and she is a feng shui consultant. And her new show is going to air with us. This is the evening trial, and we think she's going to do wonderful. And here she is, Pamela Jean. Pamela.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Wonderful. Well, this is Pamela Jean, folks. I thought we had the button pushed before, but we didn't.
Oh, okay.
Pamela, it's good to have you with us. We've got some dogs barking in the background. I apologize for that.
That's okay.
Pamela Jean is a feng shui consultant, and she has a show called, or would like a show called, I Speak Chi. Isn't that a fabulous name? It's a fabulous name. Are you there?
Yo, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I didn't know who you're talking to.
Well, I was just introducing your show, and I just want you to let you do your show and have a wonderful time. I know you'll do great.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Namaste and good evening. My name is Pamela Jean DeGina, and I speak Chi. I'm happy to be here with you tonight to share some of my knowledge and expertise about the art of feng shui and how I personally understand and interpret this divine art. Interacting with qi is my passion, my gift, and my privilege. Everything we know is an electromagnetic field in the disguise of what our eyes see and our brain translates for us. The only difference between all of these fields is the vibration of the person, place, or thing. Feng shui is based on these fields and how they affect us. I'm going to be offering some insights and tips on how you can use feng shui to bring a space or condition into balance. First, I'll give you a brief explanation of the energy involved in feng shui, which is known as qi. Second, my unique approach to feng shui, which is both esoteric and holistic. The feng shui cures I will offer you tonight will be related to personal feng shui, which are the conditions involved in living, to your highest and your personal best, as well as the feng shui for your home, your business, and if I have time, for selling your home. My email address is ispeakchi, typed as one word, at yahoo.com. And I'd be happy if anybody wants to call in and have questions, because I frankly didn't write a long enough introduction here to take up the whole evening, so feel free. First of all, what is qi? Well, for the benefit of you out there that may not be familiar with qi, I'll explain a little bit about it. The Chinese word qi is also referred to as subtle energy, vitality, ether or ether, spirit, organ, biomagnetism, primary energy, spiritual energy, circulating life energy, prana, and the vital force inherent to all things. The closest that the English language comes to identifying ideal qi conditions is being in the zone. Qi is composed of what appears to be duality. There are two cosmic forces that occupy this duality. They are inherent to the creative energy of qi. They are the yang, which is the masculine and positive force, and the yin, which is the feminine and negative force. The most common symbol of the total qi is a circle that contains the black and white yin-yang symbol of male-female. It is very important when thinking in feng shui terms to think of qi in other polarities as well. Some of the other polarities could be hot and cold, life and death, desert and forest, day and night, dry and wet, summer and winter, fast and slow, light and dark, right and left, sun and moon, white and black. And, of course, it goes on from there because everything is some spectrum of that whole. The ideal conditions are never achieved in the extreme of either positive or negative. If you think of it as a spectrum, the ideal space is the midpoint of each energy. An example would be, with chi, I tell people that really don't have an understanding of chi at all, but I'm sure that most of the audience out there in this case does, but I'll just tell you as an example. Let's say that you're driving your car to work, and you work 100 miles away. You need to be work at 9 a.m., and it's now 7 o'clock a.m. The first day you decide to take the yin approach and travel at 3 miles per hour, well, stops considered, you probably won't be getting to work for a couple of days. Your driving approach was too yin, too slow, too passive. The second day, you take the yang approach and set off to work at 8:30 a.m. and decide to travel at 200 miles per hour. This isn't going to work out too well for you either. This time you were too yang, too fast, too aggressive. The third day, which I'll call the feng shui day, you leave home at 6:30 a.m., you plan to travel at 50 miles per hour, and allow an extra half hour so you are not stressed, and you arrive at work in plenty of time to visit, have juice, and be seated at your desk by 9 o'clock a.m. Neither the extreme negative nor the extreme positive conditions worked for you. Your feng shui approach or middle path was successful because it was the most balanced. Traditional feng shui schools, the various schools of feng shui adhere to the belief that to achieve a feng shui condition, it is necessary to manipulate the path and speed of qi moving through a space. The schools which I have studied and researched all claim to have mastered the best method of manipulating qi through the environment. The Bagua is an imaginary map which is laid over a property, dwelling, or room. And various schools use various methods specific to them as to how they make qi move through that Bagua. Some of the schools use compass, and some of those compass schools also use astrology and or numerology. Tantric Tibetan black hat uses prayer, ritual, and symbols. There are many other schools as well, but each manipulate the qi energy. This is done by setting by the feng shui consultant setting their intention to move the qi. Their intention is anchored by placing representations of the elements of water, wood, fire, metal, and earth. Symbols of a desired condition can also be used, which is why often crystals and other objects are hung or displayed to attract or distract qi. An example of this would be like, say, if your house is located at the end of a cul-de-sac, and so this is not a desirable position as far as feng shui is concerned because they consider that qi comes down the street and hits the house too fast. So we'll just let's just take an example that your driveway is facing the street that enters the cul-de-sac. So a feng shui cure could be place a pair of scissors above the driveway door to cut the qi coming in. And then a mirror facing out, it could even be hung on the inside of the door because it's all based on intent. So the mirror could even be facing out against the top of the garage on the inside to reflect the qi back away from the house because they know that too much qi is too yang, and they don't want it hitting the front of their house because if it goes through too quickly, it takes away their prosperity. Okay, it's always been a concern to me that the Orthodox feng shui schools didn't take karma into consideration. nor the repercussions of manipulating chi by tricking it. I'm kinesthetic, and just the word manipulation has always given me kind of a nauseous feeling in my gut, so I kind of expanded my view as far as what I would incorporate into my own personal feng shui. I've learned over the years to pay close attention to my abdominal reaction because it's the seat of my intuition. To me, adjusting a person out of an experience they may need for their personal karmic growth isn't the most desirable. So in my case, I consulted the Tao as to how to practice feng shui. And what has really evolved has been my unique relationship with qi. I found that by listening with my instincts to what qi has to convey is the best approach. I absolutely honor qi, and I follow the instructions that it gives me. The energy in a space or in an object tells me exactly where it wishes to be. And this is kind of interesting because, you know, we tend to think that a jar is a jar sitting on a table, and it has no life form, no energy, nothing's going on with it. But it has its absolute own identity of energy, and that identity is not exactly the same as any other thing on the face of the earth. It's just the same as grains of sand. No two are identical, and no two snowflakes are identical, and no object, person, place, or thing has exactly the same chi as another. Not even twins. So when I do alignments, I align a space or an area according to what every object in that space and area tells me where it wants to be. And they really do actually know. A space will tell you what should be occupying it, and an item will tell you which space it should be in. It's second nature, but I think if you practice that, you can pick it up. I kind of was born with an innate ability about it, and I'm pretty happy about that. The language of qi is diverse because every existing thing in creation has its own personal frequency, and none of them are exactly the same. This is true for doors, water, rocks, plants, tables, people, and all that exists. Everything has its own energetic code. The code speaks qi, and qi speaks to me. About me and my background, I'm an artist, and I have been gifted with keen insight and observation abilities, and I love inventing things. For years prior to learning traditional feng shui, I studied subtle energy and directing my focus. I use many of the precepts taught by theosophy, Buddhism, Taoism, geomancy, Falun Gong, Zen, Tantra, the Fourth Way, and numerous other teachings related to consciousness. I've studied and or practiced in the arts of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and as I said before, I'm a kinesthetic person, so I approach things kinesthetically first, followed by visual and then audio. I've studied biofeedback, both on myself and the environment, and QXCI, which is Quantum Zeroid Consciousness Interface. It's a computer that detects subtle energy. A friend of mine and I worked on it for the area that we live in. Doing healings and alignments for the area, and of course with its okay and its blessings. Let's see back. I've done negotiation and mediation arts, interior design, professional property staging, organizing, lighting, ergonomics, and aesthetics. I have some knowledge of real estate as far as real estate appraisal, investment, principles, and trends. I have explored many forms and traditions of feng shui in addition to the schools that I have attended, which were Black sect tantric feng shui, also known as esoteric Tibetan tantric Buddhist and black hat feng shui, which is the most popular school of feng shui and also the one that brought feng shui to the West. the Western world, the United States. I've also studied at the American Institute of Feng Shui and at the Institute of Feng Shui Color School. My expertise is opening creativity for my clients, not just for artists or just for writers, but for everyone. I feel that blocked creativity is the most significant life handicap a person can have. It is by the opening of our creative selves that our life purpose reveals itself and the magic begins, and it is magic. Examples of personal feng shui consultations. Sometimes I'll go on a consultation, and when I arrive there, I find out that I'm not really there to technically align the house. There may be a couple of things that need to be done in the house, but it may be the person that I'm there to observe and help them recognize things that they're having difficulty with. Let's see. So personal feng shui doesn't always relate totally to the environment, because sometimes people have to get aligned before, even though that they're in a fairly aligned environment, they still have to get themselves in alignment before things will go well. And then when you're dealing with very elderly people, you have to be very careful on moving their things, because, you know, it makes them very nervous, and they like to know where everything is. The best that you can do, I would say, is, and it really concerns me with elderly people because they have the tendency to fall. They have too many chairs on rollers and too many sharp corners that they have to navigate. So there are a lot of things to consider. I'll give the example, of a very elderly lady that that I did a consultation with. Wait a minute. First, I'll do the artist, because that's kind of the order that I have it in. So I went to consult with an artist, and she was in her mid-50s, and she'd been a prominent artist, and her paintings had sold very well, but for the past couple of years, she wasn't doing too well, and she'd constructed a beautiful studio beside her house, and it was very large. It had room for her to do paintings and sculptures and metal art. She did the blow torches and everything. And but she had started suffering from feet and leg cramps and back pain. And she had difficulty focusing, and her art wasn't selling as well as it should be. So after examining her studio, I noticed that the light was very good in the morning where she sat, but during the day, as the light changed, it started hitting in her right eye very directly, and that is light is yang energy, so unless it's a very dim light, and then it would be considered yin light energy, but hers wasn't. So in the afternoon, this light would come in and start hitting the edge of her eye, and also reflecting off the canvas. So what I did was I set up two spaces for her to work, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And her feet and legs were cramping very badly, so her the shoes she was wearing, she hadn't been used to working on a concrete surface either. And this was a concrete surface, a concrete foundation, and water happened to be hitting it at one corner, both from her sprinkler system and also whenever it rained. So she was absorbing all of this moisture up through her shoes, which had a rather absorbent, they were earth-style type of shoe, but they had like that, I don't know what it is. It kind of reminds me of wood. But it was just coming straight up through the concrete, up through her feet, and giving her feet and leg cramps. And she also didn't have down rubber mats to absorb the shock. and she was a really heavy person. She had severe back pain, and when I talked to her about her stool, she said that she'd had it for many years and it always worked well for her, and I asked her when she'd started using it, and apparently at the time that she started using her stool, she weighed about 75 pounds less than she did at the current time, and so I advised her to get an ergonomic stool, change her shoes, put down the rubber mats, and and get at least a stool that was ergonomic so she could rest her feet, not only keep them on the floor, but put them up in various places so they could change positions during the day. Let's see. She also had, when you look from the windows of her studios, she had two buildings whose corners were facing her studios, and in feng shui that's called sometimes an arrow, sometimes a poison arrow. Different sects refer to it differently. So I recommended that she put chimes outside of those two windows and a bagua mirror to reflect back the corners. Also, to balance her right and left-hand side of her brain, because she had so much trouble focusing on her painting, I hung a three-foot spiral, and it was bright orange, which was her favorite color, next to where she would be painting in the afternoon, which is when I figured the fatigue would start to be hitting. And the idea of the spiral is when you twirl it, it aligns the right and left-hand hemispheres of your brain. So if you twirl the spiral and you look at it for a couple of minutes, it centers you, and you go back to a place of equalness, of balance.
Pamela Jean?
Yes?
You have a caller. Would you like me to put her through?
Oh, sure.
You got it. Be one moment. Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. You're both on the air.
Okay. Hello?
I don't know if you remember me.
I can't really hear you.
Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. I can barely hear you, so speak up, okay?
Okay. Hey, guys. And you have helped me with my living room.
Oh, is this, who is this?
Sue.
Oh, hi, Sue.
Hi.
Hi. So let me introduce you just a little bit. This is Sue, and I asked her to call because I just did a consultation with her over the weekend. And first I did a consultation with her by pictures that she brought of her home. And just fortunately, she had the color of her home in one of the pictures. And anyway, so what we're working on at her house is letting more yang energy in, because her living room was dark, dark aqua green, and her entryway is very dark, and it's just the way that her house is situated that no light actually enters the center of her house, and very little towards the back, which is her north side. So how do you feel the yellow paint is working out?
Oh, it's great. It's lightened up a lot. It helps a lot with the energy. I mean, you feel better. What I also did was I opened the doors in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And I opened the doors in the other room. I opened the blinds to let the light come through to the hallway.
Uh-huh.
So that actually helped out a lot, too.
Oh, good. Did you get that color lightened?
Yeah, I did. I had it lightened last night, and I stuck it on, put a little bit of it on to see what it was going to look like, and it's a lot better.
You feel really good about it?
Mm-hmm. And probably by this weekend we'll rearrange the furniture and face the directions differently.
Oh, okay.
And see how it works out.
Oh, good.
The color is a big difference.
Pardon me?
The color is a big difference.
Oh, good.
It's not so gloomy anymore.
Oh, good. Do you feel like it's going to open your creativity?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good, because
yeah.
That's kind of what we're going for.
Oh, yeah. It really is a big difference.
And And how does your daughter feel about it?
Is
she warming up to it at all?
Yeah, she is. But she really didn't like it being so dark. I mean, people would come over, and they would tell us that they liked the room and they liked the things that were in it, but they weren't here on a day-to-day basis.
Uh-huh.
So they really, really weren't able to tell on a day-to-day basis. It was just too dark. It would make you very tired, not really want to do anything.
Uh-huh.
And it set us back a lot. It set us back a lot. So now it's like the sun has been brought into there.
Well, Sue and I made a connection with one another after our reading. We've stayed in touch, and I went over to her house to see when was that, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I went to her house yesterday or the day before to...
The day before.
Yeah, to see what the color looked like that I recommended, because when you walked in her entryway, her room, her living room, and the hall also was painted that color, right?
A little bit of the hallway, yes.
It was a very dark, it was very beautiful color, but it just was very, very dark. And it was also the color of water. And Sue said that she had been experienced a little bit of trouble in her knees. And that can happen when you're in too much of a watercolor. And the living room, the first thing that you saw when you went to the living room was a black, very tall the side of a black, very tall entertainment center. So you went from this dark color, and then the black entertainment center kind of hit you right in the face. So what happened is your career, the front door area in your entry is your career center and where your prosperity enters. So you really need to have that bright and light and inviting so that when you walk into the house, you go, wow, I feel like I'm being pulled in here and invited in. And because this is how chi feels when it approaches your house. How does it go in? It doesn't feel invited if the area is dark and blocked and difficult to navigate. And in addition, Sue has a hallway to one side and a kitchen right to the other. So that really pulls her front door energy. So this is going to dramatically improve your finances, too.
Good. We need that because then we can do the rest of the house.
I know, because we already have it planned, huh?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling.
What would you recommend color-wise for the kitchen?
Huh?
What would you recommend color-wise for the kitchen?
Well, I think that you need to take your desk out of there and put it to your spare room and make that the, and then I think that maybe you should paint it like an off-white.
Oh.
Just to get some light into there because of your overhang in the front.
And
you know, a kitchen is a yang space, so you want a lot of light, and you want a lot of space in there.
And it makes a difference when you walk in that there's so much more room.
It feels more roomy?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good.
It doesn't feel so cluttered and blocked. I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased.
And those things carry over into our lives. You know, every day when you come into the front door, you're going to have a totally different feeling about your career and your prosperity and the family and just the whole energy of your home.
Because what was happening is actually money was coming to us, but it was like as fast as it was coming, it was just flying out.
Uh-huh.
So I really feel it's going to be a big change.
Oh, I do too. I really do. Well, thank you for calling, Sue. I really appreciate
you.
It. It was nice talking to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She had moved into the house and she had a lot of difficulties. She's trying to deal with the carpeting that was there, and the entryway is red brick, or orange brick, which is not the best for a dark entryway. So she's dealing with a lot of different conditions there that need to be balanced out, but mainly that no light and no air gets through the center of her house, and that's going to be a major thing. We talked about her putting in a skylight or some better lighting and some indirect lighting above, which is a little tricky, but it can be done. And then in addition, her hallways go in a zigzag, so there's no straight through energy going through there. But she has a beautiful, huge, big house, and she actually has a farm in back. But to block out some of the chaotic feel of the fences and things in the farm, I suggested that she put opaque covering over her windows because she can't do anything dark because she needs every little speck of light that can come in. So we talked about her doing opaque type of very light-colored curtains over the windows, which will keep out detail of the yard, but it will still let in light. And shears and opaques actually let in more light than nothing on the windows. So that's something to keep in mind if you want to give more energy to a space. Okay, so I'll go back to the artist. Finally, I recommended a class for her to take a class in color because her color was just off, and that was really affecting why her paintings wouldn't sell. They were all done in burnt orange, burnt yellow, olive green. I think she was maybe a little bit stuck in the 70s. But anyway, as far as the difficulty with her family, she said that her husband suffered from breathing difficulties during sleep. Well, actually, I had checked out her bedroom before, and I asked her, because the location of her bed was right between sliding patio doors and the door entering the bedroom, which is probably the worst position that you can be in. So I asked her if her husband or herself had any problems with their chest area. And she said, yes, her husband suffered from breathing difficulties, and he had a breathing machine by the bed. So I asked her to please move her bed to the other side of the room, at least, minimum, and to put a plant on the outside of the, at the center point of the sliding patio doors, preferably a blooming vine, to cut the energy from going straight across from the bedroom door to through the window. And I checked with her a little while later, and she said everything, literally everything, had turned around. So see, that's like a case of really had very little to do with moving furniture except for the bed, but so much to do with the aesthetics and the ergonomics of her studio and why she wasn't being as prolific as she really should be. She's a wonderful artist, and she really should have been selling very well. So let's see. Now with the elderly, I did a consultation with an 81-year-old lady who was dealing with many health problems. Her wrists were swollen and practically unusable. And I noticed that she was using a walker that was at the incorrect height. And I asked her, well, where did you get this walker? And she said, well, somebody had given it to her, which I found out is where most elderly people end up getting them. And one thing very important about walkers, and if you have elderly in your family, is, you know, have that walker made exactly to their height, like within no less than a half an inch of where they stand and their hands go. Because if it's slightly higher or it's slightly lower, they bend over, they get that hump in their back and suffer neck problems and arthritis sets in there. And or their wrists are cranked when they walk, and then they get arthritis in their wrist, and that's exactly what was happening to her. And I asked her, I told her, well, she needed to go take her walker and have somebody drill holes in it that was exactly to her height, because it was at the lowest point and it still was too high for her. Or let's see, hers was at a height that was bending her wrists when I've never really seen somebody walking like that. An alternative would have been, I taught her different ways to walk in the walker, like using the sides of the handles, until she could get this corrected. And she said, you know, I never really even thought about it. And what happens is when walking in those walkers, they get used to it, and they tend to bend their head down, watching where they're going or watching where the walker is going. And since the head weighs about 15, from 10 to 20 pounds, that builds up the neck muscle and that hunch on the back. If you see so many people with walkers, and you'll notice that they have that big widow's hump on their back, That's one of the reasons, because there that hump is trying to hold up their head, which is hanging over. So that was another issue she had, and related to that, she told me, she says, I can't swallow my pills anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't take my medication. And I said, well, when it's time to take your pills, let me know, and I'll watch you and see what we can do. And so when it was time to take her pills, she's taking her pills with her head absolutely bent down because that's the position that she had it in the walker. And I said, well, let's try something. Let's try you holding your head straight up and then swallowing your pills. And she got this surprised look on her face, and she goes, my gosh, I guess that was it. It just seems like that people really don't think about, and especially the elderly, they're dealing with so much. And she was actually causing, like, carpal tunnel in her wrists, and she was very close to not even being able to use them. So let's see. She also, her toes on her feet were absolutely 100% turned underneath. It's just, I'd never seen anything like it. And she said she just had so much difficulty walking, and when I looked at her slippers that she was wearing, and they were slip-on, they were loose, they had no back on them, and no way to hold them on her foot, so she was over-gripping. So she was extending the top muscles of her toes and shortening the back muscles of her toes. So they were going around in a complete circle. They were literally bent underneath. And I said, well, you need to wear shoes that stay on your feet without you contorting your toes like that. And of all the doctors she'd seen, feet doctor and everything, nobody had ever even mentioned that to her. But those are insightful things that really you do pick up with feng shui. It's an analysis of the conditions that are happening with people, and not just related to their environment, but their personal habits. And things do become habits before we even realize it and get us totally out of balance. Let's see. Her husband was much younger than herself, but she said that both of them suffered from arthritis, especially her husband. So I asked her where they spent the most room, and that happened to be in a den on the north side of the house. And outside was an alcove entry, and there were some potted plants and things out there like that. And they had a sprinkler system set on very high. And the minute I walked into the den, I felt the dampness through the floor and through the windows. And I asked her about the sprinkler system outside. And people just set their sprinkler system standard, but it's really important to make sure that your sprinklers are turned away from your house because your house is absorbing all that moisture. Not to mention that it's just a freeway for termites. You know, they love wet ground to travel in, the subterranean termites. But it is the foundation for many arthritic conditions and other conditions with people that are allergic to mold and mildew, which I personally think everybody is on some level. It's not good for anybody. And so that outside area was being soaked every day and for absolutely no reason. So I just recommended that they water out there with a hose. And then I think I finally recommended that they both get a machine that vibrated their feet to increase the circulation. And when I talked to her later, everything had turned around for her. She felt so much better. She'd been such a high-energy lady and just wasn't used to being incapacitated, and she shouldn't have been. You know, she was really, really delightful. So now I'll go to some of the feng shui for your home because it looks like I'm running out of time. The best way to really evaluate your home is by observance. How does your home welcome you? When you drive by and you look at your home, does it look like a place that you want to get out and go into? When you walk past it, do you think to yourself, oh, I bet you the people that live there are interesting and happy? When you walk up to the front door, does it say, come in, you're welcome here, you're invited? Or does it say, get away from me, I don't want you here? You really need to decipher the feeling. Is your address clearly marked? Because confusion on any level is not feng shui, whether people look at it or not. Is your mailbox freshly painted or new? Is your doormat in good shape? Does it match the color of your home and your front door? Is it clean? Do you have inviting things leading up to your porch or on your porch, like plants or a fountain, that say, come in? We want to see you here. We're happy you're here because that's what your chi is listening to. Is there plenty of light? Is your door clean and fresh looking? All of this determines how much chi can enter your home, and it is very desirable to welcome chi nicely. The front door and the entry hall areas are related to career, money, and to success. The color for this area is black. The element is water, which is why so many Chinese businesses have a fish tank by the front door. Is your entry hall inviting? Is it clear of anything that impedes you walking down it? Are there mirrors hanging that distract you or give you a start on a subtle level? Is the pathway into your home clear? No mirrors should be hung facing your front door. I think you have to be really careful with mirrors, in my opinion. You don't want them any place that you can catch yourself off guard and give yourself a jolt, because that's a jolt on the subtle level is the beginning of deterioration, which is the beginning of disease. Let's see. Do you have cluttered spaces? Clutter takes and holds energy. Remember, everything has an energy of its own. So if you have tons and tons of things with their own energetic patterns going on, you're distracting from energy moving through your home and through your body. Do you open your windows daily? Is your lighting indirect and space specific? And this means if you want a lamp for reading, then I recommend those sunlight lamps because they have the best chi for reading. They're not hard on your eyes. They don't reflect off the paper. They have a, you can read for hours and you don't get fatigue or red eyes or sleepy. But lighting that is too harsh with a shade on it is not good. Indirect lighting is the best, or a muted light. Even if it's a bright light, it should be muted somewhat or diffused so it doesn't hit you in your eye. Your eyes take something like 90% of the oxygen going into your body. So every time you assault your eye, you lose a great deal of chi. Okay. Hard chi from direct lighting is not good, and neither is lighting too low for its intended purpose. You don't want to strain your eyes when you're trying to read. That's just as bad as assaulting them with a light right in them. Living rooms and family rooms should be balanced chi, equally yin and yang. Square and rectangular furniture that have pointy corners should not be used or used very carefully. Corners in feng shui mean danger and are called poison arrows because corners can damage you if you hit against them. This is why moms try to keep their babies away from coffee tables and corners, anything that they can fall and hit themselves on, because they do a lot of damage. So rounded corners or oval are the desired shapes for coffee tables or end tables or furniture that you have in a room, especially if you don't have a great deal of space to travel between each piece of furniture. Decorations should be kept to a minimum, and like should be with like. So if you have collections, they should be collections of the one thing all together and in a certain spot, not scattered around your room, because, again, like I said, each thing has chi, and it's going to take your energy from you. Let's see. Bright lights are yang energy and are great in bathrooms. Since bathrooms are yang spaces, and mirrors are yang energy, so have as many mirrors as you like in your bathroom. That's a perfect, perfect place for them. Otherwise, mirrors are to be considered very carefully when placing them in other areas of your home. They do not belong in a bedroom, which is a yin space. And in a yin space, you want to calm down your energy. So you mirrors in there. And plus, you wake up, you catch yourself in a mirror out of the side of your eye, and it gives you a jolt. And most we've kind of trained ourselves to not look at it or to not feel it, but it still happens. Every time you catch a movement in a place that you don't expect to see it, it takes chi from you. Your bed should be located where you can see someone entering your door immediately. Chests and furniture should not be placed where the corners point towards your bed. Subtle and indirect lighting is highly desired in your bedroom. I don't recommend brightly colored linens or active patterns or active colors of paint for the bedroom. And since photos are yang, they don't belong in a bedroom. Kitchens are yang spaces, so bright lights are good in kitchens. Bright colors are good in the kitchen also. Corners need special attention since chi slows down in a corner. This is why there's always a gathering of dust in a corner and why spiders build webs in corners, because the chi stop there. It's a perfect place. Really, corners don't belong in a house, but what are you going to do? We all have them. So I don't have one visible corner. They're all blocked by lights or plants or something is in every single corner in my house. I think that that's about it, guys. And I really enjoyed myself. And I want to thank you, Dawn, for giving me this opportunity. It was a lot of fun. And it wasn't stressful, just like you said. So take care, everybody, and good night. Have a feng shui day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.